Blog Talk Radio.
Began in Africa, where we enjoyed self-determination and freedom, which were rooted in our sovereignty. Peace, family. Welcome to Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us weekly radio program that airs every Thursday evening from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Dare to Win is the place where we have sobering conversation about the economic plight of Black people and the imperative that we build the global economic machinery that will free us and once again put us on the path of making history. We at Us Lifting Us have developed an exact methodology on how to build this global machinery and pass it forward to our children and future generations. To join tonight's conversation, please call 929-477-2789. Press the number 1 on your phone when you want to make a comment or ask a question. If you prefer to listen on your computer, go to www.usliftingus.com. Scroll down to the bottom of the homepage, click on the Dare to Win button, then click on Listen Live. You will be on the Blog Talk Radio site at that time. If you want to get reminders from Blog Talk Radio for upcoming Dare to Win programs, click on the Follow button. Only members, we have our own social media community. Please join if you have not already done so. There is a Dare to Win group, and we would like to have your feedback on past Dare to Win programs, as well as topic suggestions for future programs. Please use the name, the same name, to join the Uru community that you used when you joined Uru. Mark your calendars. The 2024 Uru Annual Convention and Members Meeting will be held on Saturday, the 9th of March, and Sunday, the 10th of March, in Atlanta. This is our first face-to-face meeting in a number of years. We could think of it as a family reunion. Remember, this meeting is for members only. So now is a good time to make sure your UU membership is current so you can attend our 2024 annual convention and members meeting in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm Sister Q, and joining me for this evening's discussion is Brother Thurman, who, like me, is a member of UU. Our topic for tonight is, what's in the news, African family? Prepare yourself to adjust. Peace, Brother Thurman. How are you tonight?
I'm feeling wonderful, excited. I'd love to be in the good company of our sisters and brothers, including you, Sister Q.
Thank you, Brother Thurman. It's good to have you with us once again. Brother Thurman, what are some of the adjustments that you are suggesting the family prepare for?
Among the things that we've got to stay aware of what's going on around us from day to day and around us, when I say is around us, I'm talking about all over the planet and beyond, and certainly as it involves our people and our environment that's necessary to sustain us. And among the things that we must be strongly conscious of is whatever is being done against our people. We need to be conscious of all of the good things, and certainly, you know, good things going on. And I would just add, in terms of good things, last week, conversation that Sister Q brought forth was a powerful, 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 informative, high-level African deep thought kind of conversation about our NOMO. It's on the Blog Talk archives that you can go back and listen to it. I strongly urge our people to do that, and I urge Sister Q to come forth and continue further into that conversation of last Thursday on Blog Talk Radio. And our people are doing the work, the powerful good work, like Sister Q, in spreading the word and helping to reawaken. And as the ancestors said, those who know must teach. And I give thanks for all of the sisters and brothers, including Sister Q, that's doing just that. And in the meantime, there's still suffering going on that we have the responsibility to alleviate. In one of the areas that's a huge, huge, huge area of around-the-clock cruelty is in the Congo of Africa, and that's not the only place in Africa or on the planet, but it's just huge because this is involving hundreds of thousands of African people, including children that are suffering, being brutalized and cruelly overworked and endangered, even polluted with what they have to work with, and many of them are also losing their lives. And they are in the Congo, in the area that I'm talking about, the madness is being promoted, exaggerated, or it's all because of the fact that Africa, the motherland, has minerals that's vital to the technologies of today, including telephones and new telephones. And it's hurtful to know that there still are Africans that have been so duped, tricked, and deceived and made confused that they are getting ready to celebrate this upcoming Murray Mass at the end of December, and some of them will be buying their loved ones or themselves a new phone, which is just helping to perpetuate the ongoing cruelty that's going on in Africa. And the African people, and certainly the children that are doing all of this digging in cruel ways, they are living in the motherland, born in the motherland, and they are subjected to cruelty that's helping to enrich the invaders that's driving this whole thing. And we were on high levels of sanity and high levels of using our brain computer quite well without this artificial intelligence that's brought forth that's causing all of this cruelty. And so if I said anything about this upcoming Murray mess, wake up, take the pillow from your head, and don't celebrate it or any of the other European insanities. And so take, if you haven't looked at the news in terms of the Congo, just take a look at it and let your prayers go towards ending that mess, and also be mindful of how you can economically contribute by going out and buying new cell phones just for show. And we got to move on. We've got to stop the menticide. And that's menticide, I believe that's a term, and there's actually a book by Brother Baruti that you can find, order his book, menticide. And menticide, I think, was a word that Bobby Wright brought forward a political prisoner up until he made his transition a few years ago. But we've got to stop the participation in menticide. And I do want to mention in the news, I just saw a little bit of it today. I'd never heard about it, but there's some new movie that I just saw a little short excerpt of it. It was only about 2 minutes or something like that, but it was about a new movie about European priests and a pope and some other European religious folks coming forth to an African community and speaking to the king and perhaps the queen about getting their agreement that they would get rid of all the African rituals and artifacts and on. They made a list of things, and what they would bring to them is that they would be saved by this European savior and things like that. And so the missionaries were there backing up the spokesperson, and I was so proud of the sister that was standing beside the king, and before the king said anything, she just stood forward and approached them and just said it was absolute madness that they would think that we African people would accept such insanity. And she went on to say that what she should have done when they approached the waterfront, or came on to the beach when they landed in their boat, what she should have done to them to make sure that they wouldn't be around to do what they were doing. And the sad thing is it's a new movie, but then it doesn't mean that more than likely that we were the ones that created it or in control of it. And if we were, we got somebody that's suffering from menticide. And eventually the brother, you know, yelled over the sister and just kind of dismissed her. And he was moving to give the Europeans the okay to bring forth their religious foolishness and destruction. And I'm not speaking, you know, my opinion about what I just said, because the evidence is there, the insanity of their religious indoctrination. And one of them that was perhaps last Sunday, that's on the Us Lifting Us Facebook page, is about 2 minutes or maybe less than that, but it's speaking about, and it's actually what Brother Ray Hagen speaking about, Pope Leo X in 1515. And he went on to say verbally, and it's been written, and you could find it, that they have made so much money selling the world and certainly selling us on this European fakery that never existed nowhere on the planet until they came forth and created it after we taught them how to read and write. And so I don't know what the name of the movie is, but we got to take corrective action to stop that madness. And one thing I'd like to just go forward and play, and it's about 40 seconds long, and this is a brother speaking about the dollar.
Okay.
As I can get it to start. Yeah, having some problem with it. The sound is not there. Anyway, to sum it up, the brother that was trying to get it to play was speaking about the dollar in the world communities, and he named off Europeans, Arabs, Asian people, and how long the dollar stayed in their community, which could be a couple of days or two or three days or whatever. And the last that he mentioned in his opening statement was that amongst black people in the U.S., that the dollar stays in the community about 6 hours. And the beautiful thing was that what's really vital is he brought forth the evidence-based information that the Tulsa, Oklahoma Black Wall Street, that at that time they were maintaining and circulating or recirculating those black dollars for days. I mean, for many days. And that's what I wanted to play, but I just couldn't get it to play. So he said, speaking about 6 hours in the black community, but in the Tulsa, but he said it wasn't always like that. In 1921 in Tulsa, Oklahoma, the 3,600 square blocks that the money stayed in the community from 18 months up until 2 years.
Wow,
so,
okay.
All of the stuff that's going around and our people not realizing how great we have been, we were circulating in Black Wall Street, Tulsa, Oklahoma, in, I believe, 1921, 18 months to 2 years. And one of the things that we got to grasp hold of is that knowledge like that tells us how great we have been and what we have done. And so it also should tell us we can do it again.
For sure.
And we got to break free with
relatively recent history. This is after slavery, so we can't keep saying that slavery caused us to not be able to do things, because we came out of slavery and hit the floor running, even though, as we said, we stepped into capitalism without capital.
Yeah. And with capitalism, currently, you know, some current figures, is that wealthy people across the world have over $32 trillion hoarded away in tax havens. That means that the wealth of the world's richest 100 people could end world poverty four times over. In other words, the wealthiest 100 people on earth could end world poverty and still be insanely rich. It's beyond mind-boggling that 99% of the world's population allows this to continue to happen. In truth, it's a crying shame. And what we've got to do is we've got to take the responsibility, righteous responsibility, to not allow things like that. And one of the beautiful things about this call, this is the call, this is Us Lifting Us weekly Thursday night Dare to Win call. Us Lifting Us has the exact model in place, cooperative economics, which is our ancient economic model that would break free of that madness of capitalism that would have 100 people that's got this insane amount of money. It also drives the cruelty and the death and the pollution of the what's going on in the Congo, surrounded of a tenet around getting the metals out of the earth in Africa, leaving the African people poor, and used to drive this further and further the technology while enriching the invaders that caused the problem in the first place.
No doubt.
And so we got to correctly address that. And when I mentioned menticide, I just want to emphasize it's coming from all directions, and we got to make sure that whatever we are indulging in, engaging in, that we know with clarity what we are engaging in, and we use that as a way of gauging whether it's something that we should or should not do. And there's a book called Melatonin, The Miracle, The Melatonin Miracle, Nature's Age-Reversing, Disease-Fighting, Sex-Enhancing Hormone. And thing kind of, you know, just really just disturbs my mind because it says, since melatonin will slow down the aging of the immune system, we believe that it is a very potent anti-cancer agent. And it goes on to say some things about it. But what disturbs me is that years ago, when melatonin was put in pills or capsules, one or the other, some of both, I looked up in a medical dictionary, a current medical dictionary at that time, and It had a very simple description of melatonin, and the words were melatonin found in the pineal gland. And I reread it again, and I never forgot it. Melatonin found in the pineal gland. Where's the pineal gland? In the middle of our head, and especially high concentration of this melatonin in the pineal gland is in the gland of African people, and it's something that gets secreted even more amongst us at nighttime. After I first read that, at some point coming forward, even though it was still a long time ago, I heard Bobby Hemmett, who is now an ancestor, but one of our big teachers that taught in depth about a lot of things, Bobby Hemmett. And Bobby Hemmett said when melatonin first came on the market, he was taking it. But then when he realized how many Africans were just disappearing and never being found no more, he made a connection, and he said perhaps some of them were being harvested to get that melatonin out of the pineal gland. Now, if you read about melatonin right now, it would be suggested that it's coming from some other source, artificially made or however, but we can't trust the invader, whatever it is. And we can't afford the menticide in taking on their ways and their confusion. And here's a message I want to read from just an excerpt from a book written by Brother Baruti, Mwalimu Baruti. And you can find lots of his regular posts on the Facebook page, but also a list of the dozen or more books. He's a prolific writer and a serious, serious teacher. He does it day after day, year after year. One of his books is called, which is a very vital book to read, it's called The Sex Imperative. In a part that this excerpt from one of his pages in that book says, laughter is a seed that enables confusion to take root. More often than not, it introduces the sexual perversions which individuals come to participate in, and then develop a defensive appreciation of these sexual perversions. Laughter makes the heart grow fonder of things that otherwise are not funny. Western media are acutely aware that if you can get people to laugh at a perversion, they will eventually embrace and or be accepting of it. I'll read that again. Western media are acutely aware that if you can get people to laugh at a perversion, they will eventually embrace and or be accepting of that. And there are African people that have been told, you don't laugh enough. You should go to the comedy club or whatever. But what I just read is the comedy club and other and rappers and other things are using to promote this laughter of things that's otherwise not funny, never was, never will be. It's some insanity. And I want to just to add a little bit more about another form of perversion, which is foul mouth cussing. Avoid foul mouth people. If you're not one of them, commit to, if you're one of them, commit to lose this part of yourself. Don't allow yourself to be a vessel or a sponge for filthy, disrespectful language or a garbage disposal for violent words, especially from people who are supposed to love you. Some people enjoy using profanity even when talking to children or when in their presence. Many people pay to listen to foul-mouthed rappers, comedians, and various entertainers. However, the acceptance of this as normal only speaks to our loss of spirituality and self-respect. It highlights the tragic lowering of our standards for language, which has negatively impacted our children. Cursing is the strongest expression of a weak mind. Don't fool yourself. Death and life are in the tongue. Your words create your world, and your world reflects your reality. You always have a choice. Use words that represent the highest and best expression of yourself and what you see for the future, your future and your life. You deserve better than this. And this is some powerfully good words by motivational speaker Les Brown.
Oh, okay.
And Sam, I hope you grasp hold of, you know, what I was saying. That's some really, really, really deep stuff that we really got to get on the right side. Like Martin Luther King said among his powerful messages, we got to get the language right.
Mm-hmm.
And the cussing stuff, that ain't the right language. We need to be speaking to each other, love language. And so tonight, the topic again is what's in the news, African family, and also prepare yourself to adjust. The word prepare, our definition is to make us ready and able, ready and able. We need to be prepared, ready and able for whatever, and also prepare yourself to adjust. Adjust, to alter, to achieve the desired results, to alter, to achieve the desired results. And we've got to prepare ourselves and be ready and able to adjust and change from the mental side, from the insanity, from the cussing, from the Europeanized pimp popes and King Leo and all of those things. We've got to do that. And Brother Yarema Karama, I believe that's his name, he's on, you can find him on Facebook page, and he posts some powerful messages. He words it, what I just said about prepare and adjust. He said it differently from the topic tonight, and that is train your body to adjust. And he says, especially for those who know what's coming and who do the liberation work, we have the ability to adjust when prepared. Don't ignore our ability to adjust. We just got to be prepared. And we've got to adapt spiritually, mentally, physically, nutritionally, economically from the well-dressed lies and everything that's working against us and the environment. What's against us? All replacement concepts sold to us by invaders. And the replacement concepts sold to us it's written down here. I wrote it down there. Soul with dollar bills behind it, because the invaders, when they came into Africa, uncivilized, unwashed, and all of these things, and we taught them civilization and God consciousness and things like that, they eventually took what we taught them and they turned it around, extracted out scriptural writings in the oldest books in the world, and it's not the book that most people think it is, not the Bible. And they repackaged it and sold us these well-dressed lies and got us to buy into it with our mind and with our money, these cruel invaders. And we've got to put a stop to that.
I agree with you there. I think there are a number of people who don't seem to, they know that the bottom line of all of this, the scriptures and the religious teachings and so forth, they know that the bottom line came from us. However,
yes,
they do not want to acknowledge that we need to get back to that basic kernel rather than operating through all of the craziness that has been added into. We need to put on our melanin caps and get back to what it does and leave the rest behind, I think.
Yes. Yes. And when we put on our melanin cap, as you said, and we represent the higher side, high culture, African deep thought, it would dramatically influence them, because after all, we are the world's first teachers and we taught them, and they are, as the ancient Africans called them, children. They're still our children, and we have a responsibility to set the tone and break free of their lies. And so this message right here says, miseducation is the root of the problems of the masses of the people. If the masses of the people were given correct knowledge from the very beginning, we would not be in the condition that we find ourselves today. So that's telling you a lot. To stop the miseducation, correct the miseducation. Carter G. Woodson, the founder of Negro History Week that was changed to Black History Month, he wrote a book in 1932 or 33 called The Miseducation of the Negro, a very must-read book for all of our people. And then some others, and it may have been Akbar, that wrote The Re-education of the People, of African People. And we must break the chains of this miseducation, because as the message says, if we had been properly educated, or we were the ones with the original knowledge and in the powerful message called the Oath to the Ancestors, we brought civilization to the world, and we brought medicine to the world and many, many other things. And when we were bringing those things, we were not having the confused behaviors that we have now. And so corrective action would be, so when we go back to that, we won't be in the condition that we find ourselves in today. And we've got to open up our mind and be unlimited. The universe is unlimited. How big is it? Most people, I don't think they would even try to explain how big it is, because they just don't know.
Right.
It's unlimited.
Right.
And it's unlimited what we can learn. It's unlimited the African people that had such high culture and high science and things like that, that brought science and engineering and philosophy to the world. They were able to build structures like the pyramids and some other structures that you could not take a knife and stick it between the stones sitting on top of the other one. It was so precise that you couldn't do that. In a lot of it, places, you still can't do that. And we've got to open up our minds and be unlimited in our capacity to grow, to wake up from the madness and take the pillow from our head And here's something that we've got to be striving to get to a point where we can come together and talk about anything, but it requires a level of calmness and respect that we can listen to one another and we can present whatever. You know, if I talk about King Leo of 1515 and him just having joy about talking about how much money they have made by telling us these well-dressed lies of some figure that never exists, we've got to be able to hear that. And likewise, if that wasn't true, I need to be able to hear that it ain't true. But, and so we reach a point where we are never arguing, but we are listening to each other to hear and to learn. And this is a piece, this is about learning and opening up your mind, because this refers to things going on concerning burial that up until recently, it was pretty much, it was unknown for most of our people. And this is a piece written by Brother Peter Brown. It says, if you are cremated, while less costly to your family, you will have cheated yourself and every future generation of your force and energy. When you burn, the energy output is, when you burn a body, the energy output is extreme to burn up heart and bones, and all energies associated with your existence is extinguished. If you decompose naturally, the entire life cycle is fed, from organisms to worms and butterflies and birds, from oil and carbon that allows the earth to live, from minerals as your eyes go to quartz, talking about your eyeballs turning into quartz. It is through the natural process that your energy persists forever. They are cutting you off of infinity through conventional practice, through convenient practice that is outside of natural order. 6 foot down, pine box, natural, decompose, and you live forever. 1,000 years from now, a butterfly will go past a human and will go past a human, and your energy and your spirit will drive the behavior and humanity forward. We understand so little. And so it ends by saying we understand so little. We got to take something like that and let it take a deep stroll through your mind when it's talking about burning with high temperatures, high enough to burn your eyeballs, your bones, your organs, and things like that. And it extinguishes the energy of your existence. And family members, let this information in and let it take a deep stroll through your mind so that we can see what we find. Psalm says, take a stroll through your mind sometime. You'd be surprised at what you might find. And family, when it comes to the subject of preparing yourself to adjust, no dream is realized in a comfort zone. Make it happen, meaning your dream, make it happen, otherwise nothing will happen. It is not for a river to locate a thirsty man, meaning that if there's a river, it's not for the river to locate me if I'm thirsty. It's for me to get out of the comfort zone and make it happen. And that's what we got to do. And we've got the juice to do it. And when we get out of our comfort zone, there's so much to learn, because challenges make you discover things about yourself that you never really knew. And it's unlimited what those challenges are. You know, I'm looking at a picture of a Facebook page, and I believe the title of it is, of that page, is called Survival Sisters. It's actually posted, I believe it was yesterday on the Us Lifting Up Facebook page. And you can find the site, but it's showing a sister and other sisters with out with a semi-automatic weapon and camouflage, and they're training, you know, crawling, standing up, and they're also doing fitness work. And it's about survival. And mm-hmm. it's going to challenge us to learn what we otherwise wouldn't learn if we don't challenge ourselves. And I'd like to just add that when we challenge ourselves for survival, for example, that means we, as these sisters are doing, they're crawling on the ground. They're training, survival training year-round, summer and winter, amongst the bugs, amongst the cold. And that's something mm-hmm. that I would suggest all of us need to look into, and that is the subject of cold exposure, which is a real, real deep subject. But it's about training, again, that subject of training and preparing yourself to adjust to where in the process of making a transition to cold exposure, and cold exposure could be to go outside this morning when it was 27 degrees with a pair of shorts on and a T-shirt and stay there for 5 or 10 minutes. Or another way is to take a cold shower this morning, or to go and jump into a river this morning. It's cold mm-hmm. exposure, but what it causes the body to do, it's if you're doing it deliberately, it's less shocking to your system, but it still is a shock. It can make you shiver at some point. But the outcome, and everybody that have indulged into it, the outcome is that afterwards, the body will warm itself up again, especially when you dry off if you were wet. And it will rev up your metabolism. It will rev up your mental clarity, because now you have trained the body and the mind to have a greater strength and determination. And it has 7 or 8 other benefits that it has to the body. But it's about mm-hmm. cold exposure. Some people are doing it with cold showers. Some people are getting up in the morning and taking a sink of cold water and washing their face vigorously with that in their elbows and their hands, and then eventually some of them move into the cold shower. Some just go and get in a river or a lake or even the ocean. And it just varies with the person. Some people find it easier to just go dive into the ocean and just get submerged, especially up to the neck. Some mm-hmm. people find it easier to do that than it does to get in the shower and turn the water on and let the cold water start running, because when it starts running, it's not immediately covering your entire body. And some people will make them want to run. Right, but it has a lot to do with improvements of your health as well as strengthening your mindset. And that's cold exposure. Mm-hmm. You need to look it up and investigate that. I think there's some vital information. And when it comes to preparing yourself to adjust, we need to be prepared, prepare ourselves to adjust to emergencies, including having first aid kits and have some concept of CPR and things like that that we could do and be comfortable with it instead of, being uncomfortable. And it's like I had a recent experience with a 100-year-old that made a transition early in the morning, and I was around the family when it happened, and they called me because they were uncomfortable approaching him, and I went to him, and I checked his heartbeat and, made some effort to resuscitate him and things like that, because I was very comfortable with it. Mm-hmm. And we've got to prepare ourselves to adjust to the changes. And as a brother, Urema, that I think I mentioned a minute ago, he talked about if we were, for example, living in a 11-room house or something along that line. And we had to adjust to just being in one room. When you have prepared yourself, it's much easier to adjust. So he went on to talk about how he has, for some time in his life, participated in fasting. And he said, as things change, and they are changing, and not a whole lot of them, not for the good side, especially if people don't put a stop to the madness, we can be put in a situation where today we didn't get to eat. The ones that's going to have the fit is the one that's not prepared. Ones that's not prepared to adjust, people that have been familiar with fasting and things like that, it would be quite easy, as the brother said, Brother Urema says that it would be easy for him to adjust to not eating today.
Right.
I'm in the same realm when it comes to that. And so we've got to reawaken to the higher levels of knowledge and information and being prepared to adjust. We need to be prepared that when we go back to the land which we should have never, ever left, there's changes that's been going on forever and it still is. And one of them, and challenges, is that we've got to, and we should be, out in the land growing our own food, harvesting our own food. But challenges that come when it comes to growing food and weather related is that there are times when what you're growing, there's not been rain for some period of time. And it was common, widely common amongst African people for hundreds of thousands, if not millions of years, that there were wise ones that knew how to do rain dances. And this was something that also was posted, perhaps, I'm not sure if it was November the 4th, but it's on the Us Living Us Facebook page. It's called the Magical African Rain Dance. And we've got to get the foolishness out of our head to think that there's something wrong with us doing some rituals, getting the earth to participate when we request it by doing a dance. And this was showing, it's on the Us Living Us page, you know, probably a few weeks ago. But it's called the Magical African Rain Dance. And this was a sister that came to a part of Africa where they were having a drought. And they showed trees, you know, with no leaves on it. And she did her dance. And shortly after that, it rained. And people were still very, very thankful.
Yeah. Brother,
so we've got this.
Family, we have a hand up. I'm going to take this call, and then we'll continue.
Yes.
Peace. To the caller with last four digits 3440, please state your name, where you're calling from, make your comment, or ask your question. Thank you.
Yeah, greetings, Sister Q and Brother Thurman. This is Brother Shabaka calling from South Florida. You have a very interesting conversation going on. And in fact, you know, when I look at the conversation you had last week with you, Sister Q, and Brother Thurman this week, I often wonder, you know, and I'm going to be very critical in this sense that of the conscious African community about, of the conscious now, and I'm talking about the conscious African community, they would be about maybe 75% may not be able to convey the message that you and Brother Thurman have talked about in the past couple of weeks. How do we get, and this is the conscious community. I'm not talking about the unconscious. You understand? The unconscious, you know, community. But from what you all are talking about, my thing is, how do we get just the conscious community talking about it? You know, we're so bombarded by distraction, and I like the example that Brother Thurman gave, you know, about the decomposition of the body when when somebody has transitioned to join the ancestral world, as opposed to doing like the Vikings used to do, just burn the body, you know. And mm-hmm. I think that is essential. I think that is essential. But I'm saying right now, a lot of people have opted for convenience and, of course, cost, you know, because it is extremely expensive now to bury someone. So I'm saying, how do we get that message? How do we get a conversation going among those of us who at least like to proclaim that we're conscious, and we probably make up about maybe 1/4, you know, of the population of conscious people. And about the other 3/4, you know, are not speaking. They're speaking what the masses are speaking, who are not talking about what we are talking about now. I'll rest and listen to your response back.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you, Brother Shibaka, for that question and your
yes,
comment.
Brother. Yes, brother. Thank you. Very good question. And what do we do? It's like the word says from the ancient Africans, those who know must teach. And we must go forward with confidence about it and not be inhibited and to speak about it. And the same thing about the cremation thing. When I first got the word from the brother about that, I knew that it would be challenging for some people's minds, but it whatever subject, the universe is unlimited. What we need to learn is unlimited. So whatever it is, we've got the responsibility. Those who know must teach. And so when I was speaking a few years ago to an audience of teenagers up to 80 years old at a convention center with some medical doctors and a couple of nurses or so on the panel, I said some things about eye care and eyesight. And I told them that if they told me that they couldn't read the pages on a book, I told them the last thing I'd tell you to do and go to an eye doctor or get eyeglasses. And the medical person frowned at me. But we still have the responsibility to bring forth and especially evidence-based information and take it to the people. And we also got to recognize that if you visualize or just think of a 360-degree circle and we think of our ancestor, the world's first documented multi-genius, Imhotep, he went to school for 40-some plus years and gained what? 360 degrees of knowledge. And so when it comes to the knowledge, if in all subject areas of life, including spiritually, mentally, physically, nutritionally, sexually, economically, and on, if we are not engaged in that conscious raising in all the subject areas of life, we've got some deficiencies in our thinking that wouldn't be there if we were nurturing that whole 360-degree circle of life like Imhotep did. So then he knew some of everything, science and math, engineering, herbs, surgery, math, all of the planets and the stars and on, 360 degrees of knowledge. Not 360. Is when we go on that journey to learn some of everything, like Malcolm said, learn some of everything because you never know when you can use it, but it raises up that consciousness. Now you want to know more. So Malcolm said, I could spend every day learning something new. When you get that kind of excitement, then you're also less restricted or less bound and rigid on new knowledge. You are open to it. You're open to it. You want to hear it. And we've got to go on that journey to open up our people. So if Carter G. Woodson wrote about miseducation, and if it's true that it was Akbar that wrote re-education, it's our responsibility to re-educate our people, ourselves. And when you're a lifetime correctable student like I am, then I want you to please come forward and help show me where I'm confused, because we got to rise up and get the confusion out and bring forth clarity. I hope I answered your question.
Yes,
sister. No, you go ahead. You got a question, comment?
No, I have not. I was saying that I had muted Brother Shabaka back after.
Yes, yes.
So when you said that.
Yes, I see. Yes, I got that. And so, family, we've got to be serious about this thing of our survival and be prepared. And so I'm telling you some things, you know, when I mentioned that cold exposure, you know, you need to read about it because it's something that can be beneficial in terms of helping to improve our health. And there's many other things. And so when I mentioned 27 degrees, I was one of the ones that was out this morning for more than close to 10 minutes, you know, with shorts on and a T-shirt. And I wasn't having no fit, and certainly didn't get sick and had to go to the doctor to get a flu shot behind that. But it's training. Prepare yourself to adjust.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to let this thing in, and we've got to be prepared to go back to nature, go out in the woods and survive in the woods. And so if, like I saw something that a person was asking, if he could take only 5 items to survive in the woods, what would he take? And he said a solid knife. Some people would choose a hatchet, a small hatchet type axe versus a knife. And then he talked about cordage, or which is like rope. And a rope can be used for several things. For one, you could use it to start a fire. You could use it for fishing line, but you could also use it to help yourself to climb up or climb down whatever, a tree or a cliff or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you could use it to tie the limbs together to create a shelter, you know, when you didn't have shelter, which is very essential. And he also mentioned a fire starter ferrule rod, F-E-R-R-O, which you just strike it and it creates a spark. And if you had dried leaves or something like that, it helps to start a fire very quickly. And it's very doable. And then he mentioned a compact shelter, which was really a fold-up, very comfortable, very compact fold-up tent, and also a gravity-fed water filter. But we need to be familiar with things like that. We need to go out in the woods. We need to be familiar with going out, and bugs get on us, ticks get on us, we get them off, but not to be so restricted and so on a mental lockdown away from nature that we wouldn't go in the woods simply because there's some bugs out there or snakes out there and whatever.
Yeah.
And the more that we do that and get comfortable, then, you know, we have the fear that some people have about snakes, because most of the snakes, they're not coming to chase you, to eat you. And if you're aware of your surroundings, most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time, you would see them before they were ever put in a position where they would have to bite you. And if they were in your territory, you'd also have some concept of what it would take to peacefully grab them, safely grab them and by the neck and by the tail and move them to another area of land away from your home place, which is something you need to be aware of.
I think, Brother Thurman, you mentioned getting out of their comfort zone. I think
yes.
When people do, as you suggested, like the cold exposure and practicing the fasting and all of getting, you know, going out into the woods and trying to see how well they could do on their own out there for hours at a time, maybe. I think when you expose yourself to these things voluntarily, it's not so much a matter of getting out of your comfort zone. It becomes expanding your comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
So that if you find yourself thrust into a situation, you've already done that. You know, you've already gone
yes.
3 days without eating. You've already, you know, swim across a frozen lake or a very cold lake in the winter. You've already spent so many days and nights outside. So then it's not such a stressing situation when it's not as voluntary. We'll say not as voluntary. But when you find yourself that you have to do that,
it's not really
as big of a deal. I think it's always the mental component that determines how well we do in these situations. So if you've already trained yourself to withdraw things, it can vary for anyone. So if you think you could never go, you think you could never miss a meal, then practice missing meals sometimes.
That's true. And extend
the number of meals that you miss. And when you see that you can do that, then you can't be starved. You know, you won't, because you will not tell yourself, I'm starving to death if you miss 9 meals.
Yes.
Mostly a mental game.
Yes. Thank you. That's good words, Sister Q. Family, take notes of what Sister Q just said. Some very good words. It's like she was given last Thursday. And family, I'm going to say one last thing, and then I'll leave it to Sister Q to bring any other thing that she's got to bring forward. You were not born to be a failure. You were not born to be a failure. You were born to be healthy, wise, and prosperous. And this is words from an African to African people. You were not born to be a failure. You were born to be healthy, wise, and prosperous. We can do this, and we must do it, and we must be prepared and ready to adjust.
Thank you for that, Brother Thurman. When we also want to thank everyone that joined us this evening, we want to remind you to be prepared to meet in Atlanta March 9th and 10th for our 2024 members meeting and convention. We also invite you to join us again next Thursday evening at 9 o'clock for another installment of Dare to Win. And with that, we say peace.
Peace.
I can't hide myself. I don't expect you to understand. I just hope I can explain what it's like to be a man. It's a lonely road, and they don't care about what you know. It's not about how you feel, but what you provide inside that home. Being a man is what you make it. You can't always live up to expectations. You try to please everybody while you struggle, so you fake it and end up out of balance, compromising situations. As a good man, what he should, man. I'll give everything he has and do everything he could, man. You might find yourself feeling all alone inside a house you built that you don't recognize as home. And that's what my daddy told me, and I'll tell my son the same. Now that I'm older, I relate and I actually feel his pain. He never cried, he might have lied, but he did not complain. And he said, son, one day you'll have to do the same. I get emotional when I stop and think, and I look around beyond the county lines of my small town. I think about all the men out there who feel like I do now, who are screaming on the inside, but won't ever make a sound. I don't expect you to understand. I just hope I can explain what it's like to be a man. It's a lonely road, and they don't care about what you know. It's not about how you feel, but what you provide inside that home. Don't give up, keep fighting. As a man, our sun is our horizon.
Our father's actions play a role and we end up like them. So they can't let us see them hurt, cause we'll embody what they do and start a generational curse. No wonder most men are so depressed, all the things that they can't express. They go to war, get thrown on the shelf, to go back to war with their mental health. Then grab that bottle and ask for help, try to pull themselves out of hell. Then fall back down and then realize that they gon' have to do it themselves. It's the circle of life.